It's time to step into the Coming Out Lounge, a cool, safe space to be true to your sexual self, with your host, Rick Clemens. Rick has helped hundreds of people come out of the closet, and now each week he's bringing you cool insights for loving and accepting yourself, boosting your self-confidence, and living a guilt-free, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Cuddle up with yourself and get ready for heartwarming coming out stories, ideas for living authentically, and tips for being fully self-expressed. Now here's your host, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hey, 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 closet dwellers and closet busters. It is time once again for the Coming Out Lounge. I'm Rick Clemens, your host, the guy that helps you make simple, big, bold moves in your life. Yes, I'm that coming out coach. But today we're going to talk about, facing stuff and realizing you belong in the world just as you are. Because here's the thing, we all are who we are. There's no getting around it. And even if we put makeup on or we put those false smiles on, or we act as if we're just really happy, we all just kind of show up the way we are. And it's time to take some really deep looks into ourselves and embrace that we do belong in the world, being just as we are, enough in the way that we show up. And you know what? To really, really, truly just realize there's lots of beautiful wildflowers out there in the middle of the world. And you know what? We just need to show up at the wildflower of who we are and love ourselves just the way we are. And today I brought a guest on the show who really personifies that. Her name is Mila Jam, and she's gone from YouTube sensation to a pop recording artist with her new single Faces, which was truly inspired by her wanting to counteract some of the negativity that media is throwing at us all right now. And she wrote the song as an inspiration to recognize the beauty that each of us offers to the world. So without any further ado, I want to bring beautiful Mila Jam onto the show to talk about her new song and video Faces and her own journey coming out to be just who she is and how she's belonging in the world. Welcome to the podcast, Mila.
Oh, thank you so much. That was absolutely beautiful. Kudos to you for that. Those are wonderful words.
Well, thank you. And thank you for bringing to the world what you're bringing. I've had the pleasure, and we're going to have your videos up on the show page. I've had the pleasure of watching both versions of the video. And as I told Mila before we went on the air, I'm really touched by the words and the beauty and everything that you brought into this. So what was the true inspiration? I know we talked a little bit in my intro about, you know, the negativity in the world, but is that where this started for this song and this video for you?
So the journey sort of began, I was with my team, my producers, and I was talking about, like, you know, what was really touching me at the time. And I usually have a general reflection of everything going on with myself and with the world. So I try to stay checked in to what I'm feeling, what I'm going through, what I'm experiencing. Mm-hmm. And that's just, you know, as an artist, I go through that a lot. I always felt like, you know, I live in a big city. I live in New York City. Yeah. And I see people every day, and I encounter lots of different people every day. And I always wonder, like, you know, what are people dealing with? What are they going through when you see them on the street? You know, we're rushing or we're whatever the mood is. And I always witness people's faces in the crowd, you know, like the happy faces or the joyful faces or the down faces. And they capture moments. They're snapshots of like what people are really going through, but we don't really know the full narrative.
Sure.
And I was just thinking, and that's kind of how the beginning of the song, the first line came out, which is smiles on their faces as they walk on. You know, we see one viewpoint, you know, a glimpse of everyone's lives, and we don't really know what else they're going through or what else is going on with them. And so for me, it was about diving into expressing that I deserve to be accepted and loved and embraced for all of those different sides that I bring to the table.
Sure.
I mean, I'm funny, I'm lovable, I'm kind-hearted, I'm open-minded, and I sometimes hate that the media and the world at large portrays my sisters and brothers, you know, in our own journey in such a dark light, no light at all, actually, but it's such a darkness based off of something that is totally not, like, you know, that's mostly out of our control. And I think the only choice that is made as a trans person is the choice to speak up and speak out about your experience. You know, otherwise you can hold it back and hide it. But, like, that's a choice. You know, I didn't choose to be who I am. I chose to be open about it and to speak out about it and embrace it. And I wrote the song so that people would feel that way about their own journey. This is a universal experience. It is not about being trans, but it reflects that as well. It's about anyone knowing that they deserve to be seen for all that they are.
You know, as you were speaking, Mila, one of the things that struck me too is that not only speak out and stand up, but I think the thing that all of us really should challenge ourselves with, regardless of sexual orientation, gender identity, whatever it is to challenge ourselves to also show up, to really show up in the world. And I know that's kind of a blind message.
To be present,
Yeah, to be totally present, because the more we hide who we are, no matter what it is, it could be, you could say, I don't want to be in this relationship, or, oh, I really want to have a child, but my partner doesn't want to have, you know, whatever it is that you really hide, it prevents you from being heard and seen. And you actually do a disservice to yourself in that arena. And the more we hide those pieces of ourselves, the more we keep it away from the world at large. And I think the more we continue to show up as LGBTQ individuals in the world, it shows society, you can't shut us away. We're here.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but we're here. We are queer in all our beautiful, you know, rainbow colors of the queer umbrella. But the more we show up, the more people just get to know who we are. And I think that's the beauty of what you're trying to put forth, is the beauty of who we are is who we are, plain and simple.
Well, I think that there's something, you know, that's very interesting is that these days I no longer fully believe that queer people or the spectrum of people is the minority. It is on record the minority, but I look at the world and I look at all the different types of people and diverse groups of people. And, you know, we've learned to separate like people being or claiming or classifying themselves as something and putting each other into groups. But I've encountered many people, you know, who live in a heteronormative or a cisgender straight kind of world where they completely negate all of their queer experiences and feelings and hidden identities. And I feel like it kind of crosses over, bleeds over in a lot of spaces. I mean, I think that like the rainbow flag, for example, represents people in general, not just the group of different people, because we're all a rainbow. And I don't think that the majority is meant to be straight and that minority is meant to be other. I feel like we all kind of have an otherness about us that we should find a way to communicate and embrace. I mean, I'm thinking about children and youthful people growing up today who identify a little bit more fluidly, you know, or who don't really claim a certain sexuality or title or label. And they kind of are navigating in this world. They're like millennial, you know, thing is that we're kind of just like being who we are. And then like, if I meet someone and I'm into them, I'm into them, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's a little bit of a change I'm witnessing in the world. But I just feel like we have to learn, because it isn't easy. It's a very difficult thing to do. And I think that's also why a lot of people don't do it. It's kind of built into the fabric of society to just exist under, you know, a certain facade. And that makes it so much, you know, on a surface level, it makes it seem easier. You know, you can exist under this job title or this facade and not really get to know, like, well, why do I feel this way about myself? Or why do I want to express this or not? And do the work. It's hard to do the work, you know, and I believe in doing the work, but I feel like I do a service to the universe when I do that work on myself and express the truth. Mm-hmm. And that's just not easy for everyone to do, you know? So I feel like I would love to help encourage people to be able to like live in their truth or express their truth. Because there's really nothing wrong with it. There's just a bunch of rules that we've made up, you know, about it.
Right. But I think this piece that people think it's really difficult to live your truth is it depends on what version or how you've started to define what difficult living your truth is. I think all of us can do it. But again, we have been forced into these belief systems where, oh, to do something like that, it's really hard or whatever. Now, I'm not discounting that, because you and I both know coming out to be who we are, gay or transgender, is not the easiest path in the world to take. It's just, it's what it is. But the truth is any of us who really want to take a stand and live our truth, we can do it. We just got to be willing to go do it. And, you know, I was interviewing someone else for the podcast a couple of days ago, and I started out talking about his particular film that he had created. And I said, and it's a really interesting film because you've taken this, these twists and turns in the LGBT community and talked about addiction and prostitution and, you know, fetishes and all this. And this coming from a heteronormative guy. And he said, well, a heteroish normative guy. And I found that so interesting because that was starting to be his version of the truth. And we didn't go deep into it. I love that he said
that. That was really good. I love that he says that.
Yeah. You know, because that says, here's part of his truth for him. And I know it's scary. I mean, and I know you will agree with this, Mila, to say, oh my God, okay, I'm going to admit this truth. But the moment you start to admit the truth is also where I believe the confidence shows up and the commitment to standing.
Well, it's a surrender. It's really getting that, it's finding the guts, you know, to surrender to that truth and letting that lead you as opposed to controlling the truth and controlling it in a way where it, you know, where you feel like it's benefiting you because you have it so pinpointed and so calculated. You know, someone like that, I have a lot of respect for someone who can, even if you identified as heteronormative or you weren't queer, that you questioned, what does that mean for yourself? And what does that mean for your experience? Yes. And that it doesn't push away people who have a different experience. And like I always say, people who are comfortable in whoever they are, they have no issues with anyone around them expressing their truth because it's just, it's, you know, they've already had a reflection of what they see in themselves that they've dealt with. And it does kind of make you wonder when people squirm or they get a little, you know, abrasive about someone's truth being around, you know, queer people or trans people or gay people, and they get, you know, outrageous. It's kind of like, well, they just haven't really done any soul searching or work on what it means for them. And that's when I have a problem, because the problem isn't me or you. The problem is their perception of me or you.
But you hit the nail on the head. It's their, they haven't done the work to go explore what that means for them. And I mean, I will be the first to admit, and people who listen to the podcast have heard me talk a little bit about this in the past, but when I first started speaking on PFLAG panels alongside, you know, my fellow lesbians and then parents and allies, but it was my first real exposure to being alongside someone of our transgender community. It was a real adjustment for me. And I did, and I knew, I knew it wasn't about sexual orientation. That's a piece of it.
Yeah.
It was a, I had to wrap my head around, even as a gay man, and because I came from a world where I was playing heteronormative, literally playing. I mean, I know now that's what it was. It was a role. I had to learn to wrap my head around it. And that's the thing that I think people need to do. And the best education I did was to continue to show up and have the dialogue. And now I'm having beautiful conversations like I am right now with you, with people I'm so inspired by that can step into their truth, just like I did, but you and your community truly, and I say your community only for just, you know, the significance of it. You are part of my community. Yeah. You're part of my world. You're part of planet Earth. But the steps you all have to endure to be a part of this fabric of society are so, so, so deep and steep that I oftentimes just, it breaks my heart to watch what happens in so many places in the world just because somebody is not educated, plain and simple.
Yeah, of course. I've always been a soul searcher. I grew up thinking about, you know, questioning a lot of different things. And I came from, you know, a southern town, you know, in Georgia, and you know, I was raised Southern Baptist, and I went to church every Sunday, and I sang in the choir. And I don't think that any of that experience was for naught. I don't think it was for nothing. But it definitely helped me realize, like, why. It helped me figure out the reasons why I questioned things or wanted to seek some different truth from what it was at that age. Like, it helped me, looking back on it now, to find answers. In the time when I was young, when I was uncertain of who I was and what was going on with me, I didn't get it, but I was just following the fold. I was doing what I was supposed to do. I was doing what I was told to do. And I always kind of felt like I did that in a very good way, in a very, I guess, in a very efficient way, where like I wasn't the kind of kid that retaliated. I wasn't a rebel. I was always myself with caution. And I would just exist in this middle space of let me play the game, but then also not do too many things to make it really difficult for people to understand my truth if and when I get to it. And, you know, I kind of kept to myself in a lot of ways. I didn't really date, you know, in high school and growing up. I stayed very focused. And honestly, the arts is really what fueled my identity and safety in the world. Like I could check out a little bit by being immersed in my art.
Yep.
And by the time it came around to discovery and knowing that I was a woman and that I was, you know, ready to journey into the experience of womanhood, you know, physically and fully, like it kind of set me up to know, okay, I've been through that. I've been through this, you know, experience is a powerful tool. And like, you can see and read a lot of things, but as you experience them, you kind of feel it and taste it and know exactly what you're up against. And, you know, that's the kind of the fire we go through that a lot of people
just
don't.
You just brought up something that's so important, is that seeing, feeling, tasting what you're going through. And I think so many of us in the world, doesn't matter sexual orientation, gender identity, just so many of us in the world, we numb out and we quit seeing and feeling and tasting where we are in the world. And then suddenly all we are is just moving through a very mundane, rote life. And then we wonder why we're not happy. We don't feel fulfilled. And one of the things that I always bring up when I'm working with clients, regardless of the kind of client I'm working with, is, so answer this one question. What happened to your curiosity? And it's a big, big question. When we kill our curiosity, to me, that's when we start becoming homophobic. That's when we look down our noses at other religions. That's when all this misogyny and everything else starts to develop. Is when we lose our curiosity, we lose ourselves. My opinion, but
I really think that that's a great point. I love what you just said, but I really think that a lot of the misogyny and the phobia that's going on in the world right now is just a testament to the fear of being wrong. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a fear of being wrong that people, you know, people's experiences are meant to be buried and different and not alike, you know? So we've painted a picture that everyone is going to grow up and find a mate and get married and have a house and have a kid or kids. And it's just going to be this thing. And like, yeah, we kind of relate to that, you know, on a larger level, like all we're kind of wanting that picture. A lot of people do, because it's relatable and it seems comforting. And it's what we all like, you know, talk to our grandparents about. But like, I think that there's a bigger picture outside of that where, you know, the narrative for my life is different from someone else over here. And that's okay. But like, checking into why I have my experience is really what it's about for me, instead of just, you know, like the acting that is happening in the world. Like everyone kind of, we all get excited about celebrities and actors and performers, but like, there are people who are not on the red carpet and who are not Oscar winning actors who are acting all the time.
Yes.
And so it's just, you know, like if you're going to act the way that you're acting in your role, why can't I express my choices and actions in where I've found, you know, clarity, or, you know, even if it's just comfort in my role, because, you know, we all have roles that we're playing, and it's beautiful when you can be cool with that. Like any guy that I've ever met, you know, on a dating front, any guy that I've ever met that said to me, you know, I enjoy talking to you, it's just not what I'm looking for, I have the utmost respect for, because you can look at me subjectively. You can look at me in a way where it's like, I respect you. No disrespect, not what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. I do that with guys myself.
Right.
I'm interested in looking at, you know, and I look at them and I go, you know what? Thank you for entertaining the idea, but I'm just not interested in you. And I just let you know. And that's respect. That's not disgust or hate or our malice. You know, there's no need for any of that, you know, unless someone's getting you.
No, and one of the things that came up a few days ago in a conversation I was having was, when did we lose honesty without hate? You can be honest about something without bringing the element of hate into it. I can say that I honestly don't.
Disagreeing doesn't have to mean that I'm hating.
Right. You know, I can honestly say I don't agree with any of the evangelical Christian stuff or any of that sort of stuff, but that doesn't mean I have to hate them. It's just, I don't agree. And I'm going to honestly tell somebody that, you know, I don't agree with white supremacy either, but I'm not going to say I hate you. It's just, I don't agree with it. But, you know, until you do something, I don't agree with it. I don't agree with any of that happening, that I'm going to have a hard time being hateful because I know I'm in one of those marginalized communities too. And I know what I breed is what I'll get back in return. Doesn't mean I agree with any of them. It's just, I try really hard to go that direction, and it's tough, but it's one of those things I think too, that if we could all learn that, this world would be such a different place and there'd be so much more acceptance of, okay, let's just understand, you're not my cup of tea, your life,
I think,
how you live.
Agree. I think that a lot of the acceptance comes when you take a risk. I think that I like to say this risk because I remember, and I usually speak about her when I do interviews, but like my good best girlfriend Laverne Cox, like the things that she's done before she was famous to the world as one of my closest friends, you know, was inspired me to really embrace my own truth. And she was someone that was, you know, I could confide in, and showed me how, you know, stepping out on that was going to open me to a world of self-realization that, like, it took time to get to, but like that I had basically been avoiding. And like the reward is like, after you sort of take that risk, that dive, you do discover a whole new world. You discover, I think that you discover a whole new level of consciousness.
Yes.
And I'm finding it hard now because like I keep trying to grow and expand in my consciousness, that like people kind of fall back behind me. And it's not to say that like I'm better than anyone, but like they don't get where I'm coming from because I've decided to like brush off certain levels of like, you know, perception and misogyny and hate and all those things, and I open and expand. And I want to see that in the male community that is attracted to female energy, to women, to trans women, to cisgender women. You know, my girlfriends and I, we talk about this all the time. There are, you know, more men than I could ever count that are actually very fond of trans women, you know, but are not open about it and don't talk about it and wouldn't share it with their friends or family.
Right.
But like, it would be so, I wonder what that would be like to have them fully present in a world where they're not ashamed, well, the women would, that they're interested in.
What would it be like for anyone to be fully present in the world without shame? That's like, you just dropped a huge value.
I mean, I guess that's Nirvana. Is that the awakening?
Yeah,
is that
exactly.
Like the Avatar?
I want to go back to this thing where you talked about, you know, as you develop and go in deeper into your own personal development, your own levels of consciousness, and finding it harder at times to find people that you can, you know, relate with. It's part of the journey. And one of my teachers said, you will always find that the higher the spiral up, the harder it is to find those to spiral with. And I thought that was a really powerful statement. And
wow,
again,
that is powerful.
Not about being better. It's the more you allow your consciousness to keep spiraling towards that peak where you can let go of judgment, where you can let the present be the present and know that everything is happening for you, not against you. It's hard to be in the energy of those who haven't gotten there yet. And it's so interesting to work when I'm doing some work with couples where one part of the couple is like spiraling and they're spiraling up and they're really getting this. And the other one is still hanging back and you're trying to balance this energy between the two of them, help them balance the energy between the two of them. And the one's just not going to catch up. And it can get very frustrating for the one that is spiraling up until you say, just remember, as you spiral up, it's going to be harder to find those that are spiraling with you, but that's okay. You will find them. They will continue to be, it'll take more and more time to find those that are in the same spiral as you are.
I absolutely love that you just said that. I think that this conversation for me has been summed up in spiraling up. I think that was brilliant.
Well, I think that's the whole point of where we are as humans. If we allow ourselves to realize at the end of our day, of our life, if we had set forward with the steps to go, every day is an opportunity to spiral up. how much easier would it be to get through the day than to say, oh my God, I woke up and okay, I was talking to a good friend of mine this morning, love her to death. And the first thing oh my God, I've just got such a crappy day. And that was the first thing. And I'm like, and I said, you know what? So what's good about today? And she didn't know what to say. You know, and I'm not saying I'm Mr. Positivity. I'm raising those hands right now saying, yes, I have those days too. That's a fascinating space to operate from. In fact, I was at a TEDx yesterday, and one of the key phrases that came out of that I wrote down was, seek brave places that move you forward. And I thought that is so empowering because it's so true. Find those brave places to stand in that will move you forward. Then you've got everything you need. It's just really, really
empowering.
So talk a little bit more about the video and the song. The song we kind of talked about, you were with your group of friends, but then you did something unique where you brought in a bunch of very powerful LGBTQ individuals to shoot the video. So tell us a little bit about that.
So after, recording the song, we were discussing things. So I now, can say that there are two videos, but the first video that everyone knows has the cameos in it. And I reached out to every single person in the video that's involved in it. They're all friends of mine. And I thought, this would really touch people. It would hit home for people that they could see the expressions of diversity, not only of the community, but like of everyone. And I did something where I start the video off with my sisters who are trans women. I wanted them to be at the forefront. And I did that because we closely understand each other's experience, and our experience is at this place in the world where people are starting to know about it more. They're talking about us more. That we're on the radar. And I just wanted us to speak out and be like, I belong. And I reached out to every one of those girls that are all my friends. And I said, I just want to get a snippet of you saying the word I belong and how we can empower each other and other young trans people and trans women by having that prelude to the actual song starting in the video. And I spoke to Laverne, and I spoke to Candace Kane, Trace Lissette, the other girls. And they were just kind of like, obviously scheduling is always crazy. Everyone's so busy, but everyone was, there wasn't a no. Everyone was like, I would love to. They didn't even know what I was doing. They didn't even have a full idea of what was going to come of it. And then I just separated that part. And then the second part was to get other people that I, wanted involved to be a part of the actual song, to sing my words and to make it less about me and more about the message, the universality of the message. And it turned out beautiful. I'm so very proud of it and happy that, everyone kind of chipped in to make it what it is. And it reflects that. I also like to say that there are many people in the video who are not trans or LGBT that are allies, that are family. My father is actually in the video. My cousin is in the video. My sister, and so I wanted to color it with real people who express real emotions and feelings about wanting to belong. That's simply what it is.
And it's beautiful. I love it. And I love the new one too, which is even more beautiful just from a sense of just pure cinematic beauty. But the first one is just it's so powerful to see the voices. I mean, if I were going to compare it to anything, it's almost like the Coke commercials from the 70s of I want to teach the world to sing sort of thing. You see all these beautiful faces and the diversity of everything that's going on. So we will definitely have that on the show page when we release this.
Yes, thank you.
But there's something else that you just brought up that was part of what I was going to ask you about, because I want to make sure people, we do have Laverne Cox and several others that, have become kind of the faces of transgender for our community. But you just brought up that your own father is in the video. And I have to say that to me was like, as a parent myself, really just touched me for that moment that you brought him up, because not only are you fighting or have fought to find yourself in your own gender identity, there's a whole nother cultural thing being, African-American Black that you've had to transcend through too, on top of now showing up in that community as a transgender female. And I'm sure there's plenty of stuff you could share with us around that. Is there anything particular that you would share that would inspire someone who's listening going, I can't do this. This isn't me.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the best thing to know for anyone listening is that it takes time and it takes work between two different individuals, my father and I. I love him dearly and we're very close now. We finally got to this place in our relationship where we have respect and love for each other as just as people. And I think that's a part of the relationship with humans. You know, you go from child and parent to friends or to adults at some point, you know, the relationship has to sort of shift. And we had a dark period of time where we weren't close. We didn't see eye to eye. We weren't on the same page. And we had a conversation and the conversation loosely went like this. He asked about my life and how I was doing and what was going on with me. And I told him, if you are open to everything I'm going to tell you and disclose to you, we can talk. And I'm open to share. And I did. And he was basically at the end of the conversation was like, I would rather be a part of your life than not. Mm-hmm. And I know that that took a lot for him to get to that place. But we didn't have a working relationship for many years. So before that, it kind of built up to this place of like, I kind of was like, take it or leave it. And he was kind of like, well, you are my child and I do love you. So let me work with you here. I said, as long as you're open to working, you know, to learning and to trying to understand, of course I would love to be here for you. We speak on the phone, we see each other, we talk. And even when I asked him about being in a video, I said to him, I said, Dad, I'm doing this video for my new single. He's heard the song already. He loved it. And I was like, I just want your support, just, you know, send me a video clip. And it was so cute because he kind of was like, I don't have anyone here to help me pick out my good side, like how I should look. And it was cute. And like, he sent me the clip and I'm just over the moon that we have, you know, we've been able to start back at one and we can actually like coexist as like, you know, parent and child and like father and daughter. And like, it's great. He's very supportive. I have a very supportive family. I love them because they stuck around to give, you know, a little bit of room to figure things out.
Yeah.
Because I'll be honest with you, transitioning or revealing something to people that they don't expect or that they're not ready for or don't know about, it's going to take some time. They're not going to just get it. They're not going to just be like, I understand and I'm with you.
Right.
So there has to be a little bit of a grace period, but I do think that grace period comes with the right to say, okay, I can only hold on for so long.
Yes.
I got to continue to move and be myself.
Yes.
And if you're with me, you will come and walk with me. If you're not, I have to keep walking. And you kind of have to let that surrender happen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really hope that anyone out there who's listening to this finds the courage to do that. And if they get to that place where they feel like their family or whoever did not follow them, to know that there are people out there that will be with you and walk with you, but you have to start with yourself.
Yeah.
You have to be able to be okay with yourself.
Well, you've dropped some beautiful,
reward.
Beautiful, beautiful stuff there, because I know many of us, myself included at the very beginning, it was kind of like take it or leave it. And I think that's kind of our first knee jerk reactions in many situations until we realize, and you just summed it up, you got to give people space. And when I'm doing this on stage or, you know, one-on-one with individuals or in a workshop, it's like, we have had all this time to kind of start to figure this out. Even if we feel like we still haven't completely figured out, we've been doing this for a good long time. Our little inner selves have been saying, but this is who we are.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's been happening. And then suddenly when we reveal our truth to whomever, but, you know, typically to family for sure, they need that same time, but it does have an expiration date, so to speak. It's like, I'm going to give you time. Mm-hmm. As you said, then I'm going to either have to sashay away and be okay with that. But I love that you position it in the lens of surrender, because we have to surrender to the love to say, I'm going to give people time. And then you also need to surrender to, I'm also going to put a boundary on this. And if necessary, I'm also going to have to surrender that it is my life. And if they can't be with me in my life, then for my best interest and my happiness, I'm going to have to move on. And I think this is something that.
I also had a period of time where I felt like, you know, the trial and error of what you're going through is for yourself you know, the experimental phase of your life. You have to kind of comb through that so that when you are in a place where you reveal or you hint at or tell people, that you know and you're clear on your end of it. Because when you're not and it's fuzzy, it does add to the friction of the situation. Mm-hmm. It makes it more difficult for your family and friends to support you. But like, I took time to really go through this, questioned it. I thought about it. I lost sleep over it. I read, I researched, I asked people, you know, and I finally realized this is it. I know what I need in life. And my mother, you know, like what I love about what my mother did was, you know, one day she just said to me, she's like, I got it. I get it. I get it now. And she decided she had to make a choice. She chose to love the child and listen to the child in front of her over people around her who had an opinion about it. And she was like, I realize you're my child and I love you. And I've got to do the work on understanding where you're coming from. But I don't want to shun you and I don't want to put you out because I misunderstand. And I also like to think, like, on record, like my aunt, you know, my mother's sister, who was a little more open-minded, she was a good factor in being like, give her time. She has something that's going on with her and she mm-hmm. needs to figure it out. Yeah. And, you know, I get that it's not like that for everyone, and I don't take any of that for granted, but I do think the space is important. I do think the time limit is important.
Yes, and I do think knowing that space, if you don't come into that space in your own clarity, I love that you brought it up, that if you're unclear, it's going to make it really hard. You got to be clear. You have to be solid. You have to
be concise about it. Yeah.
Because if you don't, you open the doorway for every reason for them to be able, and I'm saying them, people in general, to find your weakness. This is the art of, quote, combat, which isn't what I want any of this to be. But if there's a little bit of weakness, people will use that to their advantage. And it took me a while to get there, too, where I realized, okay, maybe I came at this. And, it, you know, for me, it was twice. I came at it once in my college days, and I came at it after I'd been married. And when I came at it after I was married, I was solid. I knew who I was. I knew this was me. There was no turning back. And I know that's what helped me stay strong and confident and move through this. And like you, I had moments where there was no, you know, there was rough spots in life with my family. And we're finally to that place where we move through this. And I think that's the key, is understanding that you're probably going to go through something. Maybe it's not what you expect, and maybe it will be what you expect, but be clear and concise in yourself and really know who you are.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So real quick, before we wrap up here, tell us what's next. I know you've just finished this one. I think I heard you're working on an album as well, trying to get that done this year.
I've been in the studio a lot and I've been working on a lot of new stuff. I think we might be close to getting an album done. There definitely will be more music. I'm really excited to have more things later in the year for people to hear. And in the meantime, I've been planning a lot of different things. Like I mentioned earlier on, auditioning for some bit parts here and there. Follow me, like, you know, on all of the social media.
Yeah,
living my day-to-day life.
All that stuff up for everybody to follow you, Mila. So I can't wait to see that. So.
Yeah, and you know, and trying to, like, I consider myself somewhat an artivist, where, you know, I mean, I'm not, you know, doing trench work activism specifically, but I like to speak from a place of experience, and I like to speak from, you know, my heart about what I've gone through and how it relates to other people in the community and outside of the community, and I like to also express through music. You know, I'm an entertainer and I love to perform and I love to sing. And, you know, I think my stuff is always about music with a message. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I have a release party coming up for my first single, for the single Faces. It'll be in New York City, if anyone is out here in New York City, on April 21st.
Awesome.
And it's going to be in Midtown at this place called Rise Bar at 11:30.
Great.
And I'll be performing then. And I think I may be doing something really exciting for Pride this year. I don't want to completely announce it yet, but I think I have a big, fun thing that I'm going to be announcing somewhat soon.
Cool.
So yeah,
we'll keep us posted and we will definitely help keep you promoted. I have enjoyed being able to spend time with you and get to know you a little bit today. And is there something you'd love to leave our listeners with that may be like really struggling? Just some little piece of advice, although you've dropped so many already, but one last thing you'd love to just say to them to help them keep on going.
I just say, be gentle with yourself. Mm-hmm. It's really hard, but it's something that I practice. I don't always get it right either, but we have to be gentle with ourselves. We can beat ourselves up, especially when we have, you know, an LGBTQ experience and we have a standard that we hold ourselves up to. You know, when you can find moments to be gentle with yourself, to forgive yourself and to say that it's okay, or I'm okay, and it's okay for me to not be X, Y, and Z in this space and just exist, that will change your life.
Like, that will change your life.
So just be gentle with yourself. Mm.
And I can't think of a better way to wrap it up. It's such a simple message, but it's such a bold move to be gentle with yourself. And with that, I just want to say thank you, Mila, for being with us. And we will have you back again soon when you have some more stuff to share with the world. I can't wait to talk to you again.
That sounds great. Thank you so much. And I'm so glad that you had me on the show today.
Absolutely. And for those of you listening, never stop stepping out, stepping up, stepping into being in your world, your way. Because remember, it's simple. Be bold. I'm Rick Clemons, the Coming Out Coach. And we will catch you in just a few days, everyone. Have a great rest of your week. Take care.
Hey, 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 closet dwellers and Coming Out Lounge listeners, I wanted to ask you a question. If you could take stress out of your journey, be more content in who you are, and find ways to do some of the most difficult things that you need to do as you come through the closet doors, would you do it? I bet the answer is yes. Why do I know this? Because I have been getting requests from listeners and clients or prospective clients about finding ways to just address certain things in their coming out journey. Some people don't want to work for a long time, and I totally get that. And that's why I've designed some brand new coming out coaching one-on-one sessions. These are very focused, topic-specific sessions. For example, maybe you're looking at coming out midlife and how do you do it? Could be that you're already out, but you're not completely out and you want to talk about how do I do this and come out at work. Could be that you're having trouble even accepting yourself as a gay person. And might there be a possibility that you're really struggling with your sexuality and your religion? Depending on what you're looking for, I've designed 9 powerful, highly focused one-on-one laser coaching sessions that you can choose from. Each session goes for 90 minutes. We stay specifically focused on the topic at hand. And each of these sessions also includes a copy of my book, Frankly, My Dear, I'm Gay. So now that you've heard about this, how would you like to go check them out? Well, here's how you do this. Go to thecomingoutcoach.com. On that page, you can scroll down. You'll see stuff for the book and for some other offerings, but then you'll see one-on-one coaching sessions. Click on that button, and it will take you to a page that describes each of the 9 offerings that I have. If you happen to be listening to the podcast right now, just look over to the right-hand side of the show page, and you'll see one-on-one coaching sessions right there. Again, just click on that button and go check out these new offerings. So, what do you think? Isn't it about time that you stepped out, you stepped up, and you stepped into resolving whatever the biggest issue is in your coming out journey? I'm Rick Clemons, the Coming Out Coach, and I can't wait to work with you one-on-one.
You've just experienced the Coming Out Lounge. Go online to www.comingoutlounge.com to learn more, and tune in again next week for more stories and tips for being true to yourself.